This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run with Shaz and Noel. Noel, can we get a quick update on how the Bursa Malaysia is looking like?
Right, the KLCI is up by 0.3%, 1,533 points. In terms of most traded, really, Opcom Holdings is up there. It's up by 11% and it's trading at 123. A quick piece of news by The Edge, Opcom hits a limit up as shares of telco infrastructure players jump on Jandela's tender news. Also, on the second spot is Bintai Kiden, also very actively traded, up 6% at 69 cents, followed by AYS Ventures and Binasat Communications.
Okay. Unlike the Malaysian equity market, the debt market remains in vogue with foreign investors. Year-to-date, foreign holdings of Malaysian government bonds rose by 24 billion ringgit to 226 billion as at end August, which was equivalent to about 25% of total outstanding.
Yeah, in fact, for Malaysian government securities, or MGS specifically, foreign investors hold around 192 billion ringgit, or 40% of total MGS outstanding. So what are the reasons for foreign inflow, and is there the risk of a reversal when the Fed starts to undo their accommodative monetary policy?
Well, joining us on the line to answer this question is Hasif Murad, investment manager at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Good morning, Hasif. Thanks for joining us today. How much do the actions of the Federal Reserve impact the Malaysian bond market? Because it appears that tapering will start sooner rather than later.
Hi, morning. I think the Malaysian bond market does tend to take its cues from the US Treasury market, so which is widely regarded as the bellwether for the global bond market. So the Fed's policy does have a trickle-down impact on us. I think it does play a role, and we do tend to follow suit, you know, overnight as the Fed or the Treasury market takes a move. So, you know, it's widely seen as a leader for global bond markets.
So what happens when the US starts to taper? I think November is that time frame that they're looking at, November, December. What would it mean for the Malaysian bond market?
I think as to tapering, the Fed's policy is very much about achieving an orderly transition to higher rates so as not to shock markets, as we saw like the 2013 taper tantrum. So despite the Fed signaling a start to taper, you know, potentially November, December, and potentially a rate hike sometime in late 2022, I think these will be data dependent and they'll be well communicated. So it's sort of a known that this is coming. And I think as long as it's orderly, the Malaysian bond market should move, you know, in tandem with Treasury markets that in our view will be also quite orderly.
So foreign investors may pull out from the Malaysian bond market in an orderly way?
Yes and no. I think to a certain extent, the foreign investors in Malaysian bond markets look at us from a regional perspective, right? You know, we're usually compared to markets like Korea, markets like Thailand, as well as Indonesia. So, you know, if you compare to these type of peers, we're actually quite attractive and still provide some value and a bit of yield. So, you know, they might pull out in an orderly transition as they move back to developed markets, but some might continue to stay given the value we offer.
And meanwhile, closer to home, Hasif, Evergrande's debt crisis is spiraling. Does it have any contagion impact on Asia's debt markets?
I don't think so, at least not yet. So I say this as I look at the Asian credit markets that have been relatively stable, barring the Chinese property market. So I think the key one to look at here is how the Chinese government chooses to handle the crisis and the sort of policy actions they take. I think they too want this to be an orderly transition to, you know, restructuring. And the way they handle, you know, the several stakeholders here, the Chinese house buyers, Chinese local onshore investors, as well as international bondholders, will be important. And to prevent it from being a sort of contagion risk, I think it has to be another orderly transition towards restructuring for Evergrande.
And just following up on your comment about Malaysia, does the foreign holdings of MGS remain quite high at about above 25% on a year-to-date basis? Is there any risk of a sell-down, though? And what would be the catalyst, if any?
I don't think that risk is imminent for us. We've always had this sort of, you know, post 20% kind of foreign holding within the bond markets. And if you look at us regionally as well, that seems to be about where the sweet spot is. So I don't think there's an immediate risk of foreign selling into our markets. But I think obviously the policy actions we take here will be important to avoid triggering foreign investors selling. So, you know, the budget, upcoming budget, as well as the Malaysia plan will be important, I think, and something that investors will look at very closely.
So currently, meanwhile, the government looks set to remain fiscally expansionary in budget 2022 and raise the statutory debt ceiling higher. Do you see a risk of a sovereign downgrade to Malaysia as a result?
I think we'd be dismissive if we said that risk wasn't there. If you look at, you know, the past year, we've already been downgraded by Fitch to BBB+, and we're obviously at a negative outlook with S&P. So that risk is certainly there. But the rating agencies like Moody's and S&P have chosen to remain patient, and I think they want to see how we manage the fiscal position following the pandemic. And you know, these rating agencies, they have multiple quantitative and qualitative metrics that they look at prior to a rating decision. So I think just having an expansionary fiscal budget alone won't trigger an immediate downgrade, but the fiscal path that we take in the medium to long term, that will be the one that, you know, perhaps impacts how they view our rating moving forward.
Do you see Bank Negara lowering the OPR rate from the current 1.75% this year, or is there a real risk that the central bank may actually raise rates in 2022?
We're expecting Bank Negara to remain on hold for the moment, I think, as they strike an accommodative stance. So while growth forecasts have been slashed, I think the Bank Negara potentially believes that other forms of responses, such as, you know, the one we've seen on the fiscal front, may be preferred at this point. But the balance of risk, I think, next year may be for higher rates than lower as the economy gradually recovers.
Okay, Hasif, very quickly, we have about a minute left on the clock. Currently, what is the investment strategy at Aberdeen at this juncture? Has there been a need to bid for lower quality private debt papers in order to achieve positive inflation-adjusted returns?
Look, I think within the emerging market and Asian bond market perspective, I think yields have remained fairly attractive. You know, the risk of negative yields really is in is sort of Japan, Europe. So within our markets here, it's still fairly attractive, and you know, there hasn't been a significant need to go yield hunting into, so you know, sub investment grade papers. But having said that, I think sub investment grade and high yield is a key contributor to our portfolios, and we have been very selective when investing here. So we currently like sectors like, you know, Middle East sub investment grade, which are closely linked to the government, and within Asia, Philippine corporates, as well as the regional banking papers, those are overweights for us, and I think provide the balance of attractive yield, but also, you know, decent quality, even though they're sub-investment grade.
Hasif, thanks very much for your time this morning. That was Hasif Murad, Investment Manager at Aberdeen Standard Investments, giving us an outlook of the Malaysian bond market and the kind of headwinds or tailwinds that we're expecting in the medium, in the short to medium term. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.